Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
All right, 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day in 15 minutes. Do want to update you guys on the latest of what's going on in Topeka, if you're just joining us in the station, really, for that matter, for the first time today. In the state legislature, there's some changes potentially going on now with sports betting. And you're like, what's going on? We've had sports betting in Kansas for 2 years. I've been using my apps. I've been doing my thing.
It's been pretty normal.
Well, they're in the middle of veto session in the state legislature. There was a provision at one point in the state budget that would have prevented the Kansas Lottery from negotiating with FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, et cetera, when their deals are up, right? They're on 3 or 5 year deals. Some are in that time frame. And the governor had vetoed that, but they're in veto session, which is when they override a lot of vetoes. And this morning I reported that there was a real possibility that the House now could overturn her veto after the Senate did yesterday. I'm told now the House does have the votes to do that. That is in the process of happening as we speak. There's a bunch of other items that are way bigger issues that are being discussed, but it's all part of the same package. But I was told they have the votes. They will override this particular provision. So what does that mean? There's some uncertainty on what could happen, but it sets up a potential for some of the apps in the future to go dark, meaning they won't be able to renew their deals with the state. So they won't operate in the state.
But not like that dark is, later today.
No, it's not happening tomorrow. Okay. It's not happening next week. It's not happening next month. So this is a further down the road problem. There's always a chance that next session something changes. But that is the path we're headed on now, where there's some apps that could have their deals expire. The end game here, talking with people, is that the state, and there's many in the state that would like to create a one-platform market, which is what has happened in other states. And I'll just be honest, it sucks for you, for the consumer, because you would have an RFP put out there by the state, and they would bid it out to FanDuel, et cetera. And these companies would bid to be the platform of the state. And that would be the platform and the only platform you could use, which would suck for obvious reasons.
No line shopping.
No competition. The odds would be worse, right? You see minus 110 on a bet. Those are minus 120 now. It costs you more money to bet. That's the path this thing is trending down. That's why it matters. Why should you care? That's what we're talking about. Why is it happening today? One, it's being used for other political reasons, for other provisions that are on the docket today. The other is, there's some people that when this passed a couple years ago weren't happy when it passed. It barely passed. Remember, it was bipartisan, but it barely passed. The other part is, some believe the state is not getting enough revenue from the current setup, which that's more than fair complaint. You know what you could also do? You can just bump the tax rate up and try to propose that. But nobody proposed that this session. You could try to raise the 8.5% and go to 15% or 20. You can negotiate that. They didn't try to do that. So that's where we're at. Nothing is changing tonight. But as I reported this morning, this was a possibility, and I'm told they have the votes to override the governor's veto, and this is going to at least put into motion some of these other things that could happen.
When will they officially vote? Is that later today?
It could take hours. Who knows? It's going on right now in the House.
So when's the next legislative session?
Not until next January.
So like the problem is with that is, as Gold pointed out, some of these, he's told, are on a three-year deal, which means some would, hypothetically. If they can't renegotiate their deal, I don't know why they wouldn't go dark. But like you said, right now it's unclear of how many of the six that would qualify for are the ones that do it. But yeah, it's going to change the way it looks right now. I guess good news.
It's usually a great thing to make things worse for consumers in the state. It's awesome.
People love that. Yeah. Look, you know how many times we talk about Jackson County in the course of, like, it turns out government is really good at screwing things up sometimes. And this might be one of those times as far as they're making your life harder if you're someone who likes sports wagering and already has been doing it for two full ass years in Kansas. For the same reason as you could have had Missouri to just pick up right in September and take away and had all the books and did all that stuff. And now they got to wait till November because some other jackass decided to slow the wheels of time on the Missouri side. So, like, it's just a disaster, really. Government in general, local government, all of it feels like it's kind of a mess at times. But yeah, they're intentionally throwing a roadblock in. Probably the people who were happy to vote for it were the ones who you said were against it in the first place and now want to go to a single, maybe a single operator model.
That's the potential end game.
Is what it sounds
like. That's the potential end game. I'm just telling you what are the repercussions of what's happening today. And the potential repercussions are what I mentioned. Some apps may not be available in the future. Maybe down the road, there's only one app available. These are all consequences that could happen from this. So we'll keep an eye on it today. I don't think anything's going to change today. Again, I'm told they have the votes to override this. But it's something that will be discussed, I promise you, for the next couple months. And really, it could be another year or so down the road. I mean, the initial bill, there were some things that expired in 2027 anyway. But this is obviously happening 2 years before that. So it could just change. And there, you bring up Missouri. There is a chance, by maybe not in October, but let's say by next year, possibly, there's a chance that you could have potentially, I don't want to say it's a firm thing, potentially more options to bet in Missouri than Kansas one day. Maybe it's not 6 months from now. Maybe it's 2 years from now. But that is a real possibility now. So that's the latest on what's happening in Topeka, in the Kansas.
How do you have something fully operational and working for two full years and then just decide?
This is unprecedented, Cody. I looked it up. There's, I think, is it 39 states now, 40 states? Maybe it's 40, including the District of Columbia, that have sports wagering up and running. This would be the first time that a state would not renew or not allow negotiations to renew. Again, there's been states that have upgraded the tax rate. Makes sense, right?
Sure.
Upgrade the tax rate. There's some District of Columbia had the single source platform model. It sucked. They switched to the open model, competitive model that Kansas has right now. Kansas is trying to go backwards. Doesn't really ever happen. Leave it to Kansas maybe to try to do something ass backwards. So here we are.
Like, in the end, they're going to be like, hey, none of this works. And it's going to be the living meme of that person sticking the stick through their own bike spoke and crashing their own bike. You didn't have to do this. This is doing it to yourself. You know what? Missouri did this for years. So I guess I'm not surprised. Good. Welcome, Kansas. We've been dealing with this on the Missouri side for a long time. Yeah.
Now, somebody was asking, hey, what about my money in my DraftKings account? Look, I don't think it's like
the poker boom. I don't think it's like full tilt. It's just going to disappear. It's not going down like that.
Again, none of this is happening overnight.
Yeah.
So for starters, and like you said, it's not like DraftKings. They're not going out of business.
They're a legal operating.
Yeah, that's
business.
Not this. We're a ways away from like that being.
Did you lose any full tilt money?
I never had the full tilt thing.
Tough. Man, I played so much online poker.
No, I didn't.
I tried to get it out, but I didn't get it all out in time. I did the free
Poker Stars back in the day, but I never had the money.
Dude, me and my brothers, we had an account together. We played real cash all the time. I mean, too young. There was no stopping us. My brother signed up. We shared an account. He was like in his early 20s. I was like 17, 18 years old. My brother was 16. We'd all play. We'd share the expense of the account and all play together. Yeah, it's slightly different. Slightly different, at least on that end. Let's get another leaderboard update out at Augusta, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Drew, what's happening on the course?
Yes, we're going to take a look again at the top of the leaderboard, where things haven't necessarily changed, but Justin Rose is still two shots up of Bryson DeChambeau. We do have a couple new names, though, in the tied for third range. Matt McCarty is now 4 under par. Sungjae Im, the South Korean, is also at 4 under par, joining the likes of Corey Connors and Scottie Scheffler, both of who have yet to tee off. Ludvig Åberg, +1 on the day, the only one at the top of the leaderboard in terms of the top 20 or so players that are over par on the day. Victor Hovland, a notable name, 1 under for the day. He's 2 under for the tournament, tied for 11th, as well as Shane Lowry, your guy Shane Lowry. Alex,
where's
Gold.
Rory?
Rory is currently one under par for the tournament and one under par for the day. If you remember, he really had a disaster double bogey twice. Yeah, a difficult four holes to finish. Went from four under to even par. He's trying to get back on the up and up. Some other notable names that are playing well today: Tommy Fleetwood, two under for the day, one under for the tournament, as is Hideki Matsuyama, and Xander Schauffele, two under for the day. All those guys at one under for the tournament.
Okay.
Projected cut is actually now at one over par. Unfortunately,
that's not good. Yeah.
Your guy Max Homa is still at two over par.
I'm going to need a birdie.
He's even for the day through 11, even to get in a good run to finish things out to make the cut.
That wasn't my biggest one. My Minwoo Lee is easily my biggest handle for, so I need him to shoot well when he gets teed off.
Yeah, he hasn't started.
He's in about an hour. You know, there was something else that took place yesterday which requires us to play something legally, I think.
That went over the scoreboard.
That sounded good.
Another Jack for Jack.
That's a good one.
Jack Watch.
Yeah, it's Jack Watch time here on Cody and Gold, which means Jack Caglione did something of note yesterday when he accomplished this feat, hitting a ball 120.9 miles per hour, the single hardest hit ball to the opposite field in StatCast history. The other four are owned by Giancarlo Stanton, okay. The four fastest up until yesterday in the StatCast era. This is what it sounded like. Every time we play a highlight from him, the ball sounds like it could sue him in court for assault. Like, it all just sounds so mean.
A Jack didn't have the Jack that time, but we definitely had single. What sounded like, you could have told me that was a home run just on the audio. Like, oh,
well, that's a home run.
That sounded like a home run.
He went 2 for 5 yesterday, a couple of Ks. He still got a 450 on base percentage, mm-hmm. I think, and like a 375 average. It's kind of hard to ignore when every single day he seems to do some superhuman thing with the hitting power, but he's still getting on base. The thing that keeps standing out to me is he's walking okay. He's getting on base. He's still striking out, but I mean, I don't know, man. For a guy who hits like that, I'd expect some strikeouts, I guess. Does that seem crazy to you?
Yeah, but I mean, right now he's done a great job. Again, I always wonder, I don't know what's who's the pitcher every time. You know, is it a top prospect for an opposing team? Is it some guy that's been AA for 4 years? That is always the thing. I mean, JJ kind of alludes to that. Like, they look mm-hmm. at who is he facing? Is it a really talented pitcher? Or is it just kind of a kind of guy? And I don't know the answer to that.
Spreadsheet of like their rankings and MLB pipeline versus the hits that he's getting as a way to track it. But we're not the only people saying stuff about Jack Caglione, which I think is fair.
No, we're not. It's kind of interesting. You know, we know there's a lot of momentum, and he's done nothing to slow the momentum, the fan excitement. And look, fans should be excited. We're not trying to say not
should
to
be excited. About the major league team
just
too, yeah.
Just be patient, I guess, is what we're getting at. But how about Eric Hosmer fueling the flames a little bit? He was on his podcast, him and Mike Moustakas, talking about Cags.
I'm a little upset, Kansas City. We need this guy in Kansas City right now, dog. This dude is straight up dominating the minor leagues right now. And look at, I mean, if you want to look at his development, we want to see he's a professional. The guys in college, they come out already with a leg up, you know, structure in college, the mindset, like it's just much more structured than minor leagues. He knows what it is to be a professional. He needs a challenge. He needs something more. And honestly, Chucky, I felt like the plan all along was let's keep him in double A. He's going to rake, but we can still mix him in right field, get that development going. And then maybe at some point in the summer, late summer, midsummer, he's a little more comfortable with that and we can throw him out in right field. For me right now, I think we pivot. The bat has shown that it's ready. And like Ned Yost used to say, you don't know Atlanta Braves, we missed the division by one game. We don't know if that game came in April, June, September. I don't want to see the Royals miss the playoffs by one game, which they won't. But I want to see us win that division, and Cags is going to be that one game that separates us.
Ooh, Haas not exactly tempering the flames there for Jack Caglione. Look, I don't think Jack Caglione is so talented. He's just bored now. I think he's just like bored in AA and needs a new challenge and getting himself to the big leagues.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about 4 or 5 games or whatever.
The late summer thing, that was always the expedited timeline if things were going really well. The 100 to 500 at-bats that JJ cited on Tuesday, that feels normal. If you're curious, at bat watch for Jack Caglione. He is at 32 plate appearances, 26 at bats. So he would need to play for the minimum number that JJ Piccolo mentioned to move him on to the next level. At least 18 more games at double A. in order to do it. Right now, he's hitting .346 with a .406 on base percentage. He has 11 RBI in six games. He has two home runs and four walks. He struck out seven times in those 26 at bats.
Okay.
20 to 25%. A lot of power hitters strike out at that number. I'll tell you, they still want to see that number a little bit lower, probably overall. But yeah, I can't ignore somebody hitting the ball 120 miles an hour. That's nuts.
Yeah. It's gotten to the point where every day, I'm sure you get it, like your friends or whatever will text you, like, Did you see this?
So you think I don't see the incredible things he does? Yes.
Did you see this? And they'll send you a link to it. And yesterday it was just the single, but the hard hit single. And of course, the days before it's the video of a home run or whatever it may be. I'll say this: we've teased it enough. Monday, you should always want to be listening. But Monday, you want to be listening at the beginning of the show because
you're a fan of Jack Caglione.
If you're a fan of Jack Caglione, we have an announcement. We're excited about it. I think you'll be excited about it. And I'll leave it at that. But if you've been listening to the show, you should know kind of what we're talking about.
You can get a sense of where we're headed with this.
Clear your calendar for a weekend coming up. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. Monday for the official announcement on that. But if you, again, the checklist, like this show, like Jack Caglione, am interested in watching Jack Caglione.
Like t-shirts. Like driving.
Those things might all be available to you come Monday. You know, who's to say, really, in which way this goes?
Trash of the day.
All right, I want to pivot on the trash of the day. I was going to do one involved with this other story we can get to even next week or something. It's just kind of a crazy scenario of somebody, frankly, screwing over somebody else. But this one, there's a couple options. One, we can get to, you got to be careful. We give Drew a hard time talking about the chew it and do it. But this is a story from the Daily Mail. Knockoff Viagra-infused honey packets are now a thing.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, is somebody like making them in their house or like?
I guess honey packets infused with ED meds are becoming quite a hit on college campuses these days.
You're having a problem getting it up on college. I don't know what to tell you.
Guys are reportedly hitting their local gas stations to pick up a few of the sexual enhancement products, seemingly without regard for the fact that many are untested, unregulated. The honey packets promise, quote, mind-blowing sex, but the side effects to some of these products can be anything from headaches and a stuffy nose to a painful erection that lasts more than 4 hours, which would require a visit to a medical professional.
Well, based on any commercial I've ever heard, that does appear
medically,
to be the case.
You're looking for it. Don't buy the Viagra-infused honey packets from the convenience store. Come on now. We got to be better than this.
College, smarter. I think at 20 years old, you have no regard for your safety. I told you when I was like 20 and doing courier work, I used to take those like yellow jacket trucker pills. Oh, I'm pretty sure those are legalized speed. Like there's no way I should have been consuming those at that time. Now I'll say unregulated ED medication feels like a dangerous area to be living in. You could just use Drew's promo code or something instead and call it good.
KFNZ.
You know?
So I guess there was a product like 3 years ago, according to this article, that existed as well. And this is not the first time that this has become a thing. There was a product, let's see, what does it say? It was called, back in 2022, called Kingdom Honey was being sold. And those packets were specifically found to contain the same active ingredient that's in Viagra. And then now there's this new product that people don't know in college, I guess, are going to these gas stations. They just see, this might be great. And they're taking it.
You make a good point, though, Cody. College and you're getting these?
You think about honestly, what is that? Like the 30th worst thing he's putting in his body that week? I mean, just think about like, what did he eat? An entire family-sized bag of Funyuns earlier that day? Is that worse than the honey? Like, I mean, I'll just be honest. Like, based on college alone, there's just no way that's the worst thing you put in your body.
I know, but it might feel worse than the honey if you got to go visit the doctor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. You don't want to have to go to the doctor. That would be an idea. I'm not saying good. Like,
is it worth the trade-off for, what did you say it was, Gold? Mind-blowing sex? Is that what
quote,
you were saying?
Yeah, the quote in the article said, mind-blowing sex is promise from the honey.
Can you promise that?
No,
that
you feels can't. Like,
Drew,
you can't.
Wow! You said that so confidently
said
and quick.
That so like, sure.
You said that. You sounded like someone's like, trust me.
You cannot promise
mind blowing sex.
What did you do on your day off yesterday?
He golfed. He told us. Where'd you go?
I went to Dub's Dread.
Oh, that's right.
Of course, it's very nice.
How'd you shoot?
I played better than I scored. I shot an 82, and I I was very happy with the way that I played, but the score doesn't reflect how I actually played.
Miss a couple of putts or something?
Oh, it was that, but it was also just a missed shot here or there where I would set myself up nicely, screw up a couple bad shots in there. But also,
overall, you thought your game was pretty good.
I actually, for the first time playing a round in 9 months, I thought I played very
like
well.
Like a full round. You played nine a lot. You say you like to walk nine a lot, right?
Oh, no. I haven't played nine holes in, played 9-18 in 9 months.
What the? What have you been doing? Just going to you went to the range not that long ago.
Yeah,
I guess.
All I do is I go to the range. I mean, it's
okay. That's where to get better. You know, that's what they say. They say to get your game better. You don't get on the course.
It is also nicer that
it's
now.
That's what they say. That's what they say. They do say.
It's also nice that it's warm enough to be outside now and actually go and do something. It's felt like it's been a freaking millennium since I've been able to go outside and enjoy a good
yesterday,
round of golf.
Yesterday was beautiful. Tomorrow's going to be even better, though, man.
But yeah, I played well yesterday.
If you want to really sweat on the course, Drew, go Sunday. 87 degrees on Sunday.
I'm just thinking, 87. Oh, man, that sounds great.
Get a good sweat lather going there.
These guys are taking this.
You want to go play Falcon Lakes on Sunday, Cody?
You know, I'll reach out. I'll see if we can get out on Sunday. It's like I was just thinking about like this honey stuff, and I'm like, again, I drink Four Loco at 21. There's just no like the original Four Loco.
I was in college when
Not like the kind or whatever they sell, like the OG, the one that probably stopped your heart.
Someone says, 10 years ago, they took a gas station ED pill.
Oh, my goodness.
He said he had a friend come over.
Oh.
He said, I've never vomited more in my life. Needless to say, we did not have mind-blowing sex.
Yeah, the fact that this is like a...
It's
not official. It's still like in testing and whatnot.
Yeah,
some things you just avoid because you just need to avoid them, you know?
Someone said, Drew, if you steal those honey packets, you could become a hardened criminal. That is the trash of the day.
Yeah. Hit it with a little tap. We'll give another a gust up. Well, you can say master. We'll look, take a look at the scoreboard in the Masters here shortly. A lot of people a lot of people are saying they'll play with Drew too. Hey, Drew and I got to get on the course together. We got to get to Falcon Lakes a couple times. We got to start our scouting process. Got to start our process, figure out how to attack the course.
Shout out to Wanda and JD. Dead serious. Yesterday, I was playing as a single, and then there were two people behind me, and there were two foursomes in front of us. I was like, you know what? This is not going any faster. I'm going to see if they want to join. Because I have no problem with that.
Yeah, you realize if they're not going to let me play through, I'm
shout
just
shout out to JD and Wanda, 82-75 playing
also,
golf on a regular basis.
Who doesn't let a single play through if you're a foursome?
Well, so the two groups in front of me were together, so I don't know if they want to get separated. I have no problem chilling out and waiting. I have to be outside, and I get to play. I get to hit two balls at times.
They should both let you play through. That's bad etiquette. That's worse than that Arizona State hat.
Yes, but no. So Wanda is a member at Falcon Lakes. She lives at Falcon Lakes, and I was like, so she's
Wanda Sykes is a member of Falcon Lakes.
Goes,
that's crazy.
She goes, have you played? I said no. She goes, greens very 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 quick. I was like, okay, I need to get out there and I need to play.
You've already gotten your first tip. Doesn't that feel good?
I did not tell her that I was potentially playing in this tournament, but now knowing that the greens are very quick, that's the thing that I'm going to need to get down. Forget the actual course layout. The course layout is fine, great. I need to know the yardages, but. Let me get the green speed down, get comfortable, familiar around the greens.
If there's no one behind us, we'll take a couple of other putts on that green, kind of see where they roll, you know?
100%.
Just like we're not holding up the course. We'll make sure to get some extra shots in.
All right, coming up next, we will get an Augusta leaderboard update. Also, it's the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll talk about whether or not this is the time to improve a certain position for the long run, or, hey, just go load up at another spot.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else.
So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
That's next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
We'll get an Augusta leaderboard update in just a bit as well as another update on sports betting in Kansas. Got some news that I think will, at least for the short term, make people feel a little bit better about what's happening in Topeka today. So that's coming up in just a bit. But let's talk a little Chiefs football to kick us off. Obviously, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Welcome in. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. You can watch the show on video, as always, streaming live on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, X. Make sure you subscribe. That way you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. So we are inside of 2 weeks officially now. Just inside 2 weeks.
Just got the email to say when Brett Veach is going to be available for his pre-draft.
You know, presser. We're close.
Which means we are only... I don't want to scare anybody. 13 days, or no, wait, he talks next Thursday. We are 6 days away from him telling us where the hot zone is in this draft.
That's also true.
I want everyone to be prepared. 6 days away from learning the hot zone, Gold. I'm going to guess it's between 25 and 103, like where they got like all those picks. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah.
That's the hot zone.
Yeah, we're going to hear about that, I promise you. So we are getting to it. We can't wait to be at the landing in Liberty for our draft party and everything. But you, I know, would like them to take Loveland if he's there, the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that
he's on my crush list. I got two now.
Would you rather the Chiefs try to say, let's improve the tight end position for the long run, which Loveland presumably would be the answer to that if you think he's there. I don't know if he will be. I know Drew and I push back. We don't think Warren and Loveland are as close as you do maybe on who they are.
But most people don't. I know that I'm on a...
Or... Would you say, hey, just go and get a wide receiver? Do what Bink did in his mock draft with Christian Ocero, which was they took Luther Burden at 31 and they punted on the idea of tight end. I don't know about you. I look at the tight end room. Travis Kelce's back, probably as last year. Noah Gray's back, but he signed a new deal. We have Jared Wiley's a complete wild card at this point in time.
Yeah, we don't know where that's going to go.
Then you're going to spend a first-round pick on a tight end? Where's that? I mean, it's an... I would if you're telling me I'm drafting a player that might not have much of an impact in 2025, I would rather it actually be the offensive line at that point. If you're giving me a choice between tight end or offensive lineman, I'll go O-line. If you're giving me a choice between tight end and wide receiver, I'll go wide receiver.
So I'm a little bit torn on this because there's a couple of things that are a hang-up for tight end. One, there are just less of them, right? So you're picking between a thinner crop, just generally speaking anyway, although this is not a particularly good wide receiver draft class. It's nowhere close to last year's wide receiver draft class. So obviously you're going to run into some problems there. Tight end is also, you know how hard it's going to be? No matter where you take the tight end. If you took him first overall, do you know how hard it would be to get Travis Kelce again? Do you know how borderline impossible it would be to find that level of tight end again versus just try to be the rest of the league and pray for your Cole Kmet and look for a 700-yard guy and operate your offense that way? Really hard. Borderline impossible. But I am still torn at tight end and improving that spot because it's so much cheaper. And what I'm trying to figure out is if you have two good young wide receivers, one of which you already think you're going to pay, the better way for the long-term build of the offense is that if you're in the first round and you're looking at tight end and wide receivers, to actually go tight end. That way you can still pay one of your wide receivers, say Rice or Worthy down the road. you can still make the decision on paying a tight end and afford both at the same time and not getting in a situation we just talked about like Cincinnati, where Higgins and those guys are there. The only other argument is you buy yourself two additional years after Rice if you don't pay him, at having super young, super cheap wide receivers you're not paying. So maybe you handicap yourself, and I think you're more likely to find the talent. I think I choose tight end, but part of the reason I think this is a good question is I think it's a tighter decision than we think, because there's factors on both sides that I think there's a good argument for.
I guess, again, this goes back to when we were trying to go through the tight end class this year. Do you believe at 31, too, let's remember, like it's not like they're going to get the best tight end in the draft either. You know, at 31, is it worth doing it? If you told me that,
it'd have to be Loveland, right? I mean, it's not worth it otherwise.
No, but I would argue it's not worth it unless you told me in this bizarre hypothetical that Warren, you were the 15th overall pick in this year's draft, and you were getting Warren. Like, I don't want them taking a tight end this year unless you tell me I'm getting the best tight end, and that's not realistic.
And I think that, but here's the thing. I think it's really close.
Yeah, yes. That's fine. Yeah.
I think if it's Loveland, you are getting co-tied for first to the best tight end. I think he's going to be just as good of a pro as Warren. I understand that probably 9 out of 10 people disagree with me, and yeah, that I'm fine. Not, and I'm, you know, like, and that doesn't mean I'm going to end up being wrong or they're going to end up being right. Time will end up deciding that fate. Sure. And I might be very damn wrong. Ty Warren might have been Brock Bowers and I'm way off base. And this thing doesn't look that way.
Are we just talking the first round?
Yeah. But here's the thing. Luther Burden, I think, could end up being the best wide receiver at 31, too. I'm telling you, you could get Loveland or Burden, and they could end up being the best tight end in the draft or the best wide receiver in the draft. And given that, if I knew for sure that that's how it went down, I would definitely choose tight end. I would for sure choose it. And I would ensure my fate that I get to keep running. Because here's the other part. They like running their offense a very particular way. They very much like running their offense a particular way. And that includes having capable receiver-level tight end. So they're going to have to fundamentally change the way they operate if it ends up being wide receiver instead. What were you asking, Drew?
Well, are we just talking first round or just in general?
Yeah, I think first round.
First round, kind of specifically in this, but in general, I'm open. Because yeah, if you think it's third round, sure.
Well, I'm just saying because I don't think you should take a tight end, maybe even period, if unless you can get Loveland or you can get Warren. Where if Loveland's there, Loveland's there, then maybe you take him. But in terms of the debate between wide receiver and tight end, I think you'd be better off, even if it's not in the first round, taking a wide receiver in the second round, where tight end in the second round is fine. But to Gold's point, when you guys brought up the topic, is the tight end room is full right now. Where if Loveland's there and you take him, fine, you're going to have to sacrifice. Like
Noah Gray's your third and Wiley's off the board. It's fine.
Yeah, Tunyon's gone and Wiley might be gone as well. Like those guys are out. But if you can't get either of those two, it might just be worth it to stay with what you have. I can understand why you'd want Loveland or why you'd want Warren, obviously, where it's not a need, but if that's the best player available and you feel like it can be the long-term option where, hey, Travis Kelce is done, Noah Gray is going to stay as the number two, and you bring in Colson Loveland hoping to develop, then you go from there.
That's another part of this conversation that it's worthy of discussing, because how high you are on Noah Gray answers some of this question for you. I mentioned Cole Kmet. Like, you go through the tight ends. Okay, Noah Gray's not going to turn into Brock Bowers. We all agree, right? He's not going to turn into, like, one of the five best tight ends in the league. He's not going to turn into, like, something he's not. But if you go back through and you look at the average tight ends, and we know that Travis Kelce currently eats up a lot of this, the perfectly average tight ends, the, like, you're the eighth, ninth best guy, yeah, they are 700-yard guys. Tucker Kraft had 707, Hunter Henry, 674, he ranked eighth. Mark Andrews at 673 and Gesicki at 665 at 10. That's a perfectly average tight end. If your answer to the question is, if Noah Gray was the full-time tight end one, would he have 650 to 700 yards receiving? Then the answer should be wide receiver. If your answer is, I'm not confident he could turn into that, even given all of the snaps for Travis Kelce, then I think it should be stronger on your list. It's harder to find a good tight end than you think, man. It is tough out there. Because like right now it's still the same four. It's like Brock Bowers, McBride from a receiving end is really taking a leap. Kittle and Kelce and Laporta, if he can have a bounce back third year, he fell back to earth a little bit in year two. I guess that could happen to Bowers too, because didn't Laporta have like 1,000 or 1,100 yards in year one too?
Yeah. We've had a stretch now of a couple years in a row where the top tight ends are just coming in immediately having success. Like, yeah. That has been a theme.
And I think that's what people expect out of Ty Warren.
Probably. Yeah, and that's where we get into where it'll be a fun thing to watch, Loveland versus Warren and who does what in their respective rookie seasons. And we all know fit and where you go and what quarterback are you with and all that is a huge part of the equation. Although Brock Bowers, to do it in Las Vegas where he had Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell as his quarterback with a 1-year head coach and Antonio Pierce and an offensive coordinator with Scott Turner, for him to put up those kind of numbers is awfully impressive. Now he's going to have Chip Kelly and Geno Smith. Brock Bowers' numbers, as crazy as they were last year, you would expect those to just continue and increase.
Guy, when the text line's coming, it's going to be a BYU tight end because Andy likes BYU players.
I mean, that is true.
He does like BYU players. He hates Ohio State.
How far
he likes
back
BYU.
Is this, does anybody know the name of the BYU tight end?
No.
Yeah, that's
Ross
the thing.
Ross Heron. We know that's a commit. I don't know his name.
And the mock draft we have is not going to, does not have that either, by the way.
Does not have them taking the BYU.
Does not have the. Is he even draft eligible? Like, is he draft eligible?
I don't know.
Is
he that, just said.
I mean,
I didn't. You know what? I didn't. Maybe I missed it. Maybe it's next year's. Keep an eye on the. Oh, the tight end that just committed to BYU. He said he's 2 years away.
So we're talking.
Wait,
committed to BYU. We're talking 2028.
I'll give this guy credit. If they take that kid 2 years from now,
true.
I'm gonna give him a ton of credit.
Jeez.
That's true. I didn't know we were talking about 18-year-old kids.
You get to claim to be the first on the scene if they take the BYU kid.
True. Who's gonna be the top five pick in 2029? Please go ahead and give me the lowdown on that one. 4 years from now. What 16-year-old's going to be a top draft pick? 17-year-old's going to be a top draft pick in four years.
One of those kids that's getting a scholarship from USC right now, who's in eighth grade. anyways, we're going to Pro Football Network for our mock draft, a three-rounder. Ironically enough, I don't know if they collectively do these mock drafts, but there is nobody attached to this.
Oh, mystery mock draft. It's an effort, team effort. Pro Football Network, apparently.
That must be what it is. At pick 31, a guy that we've had mentioned before on the show.
I'm ready for some new names at 31, I'll say, based on these mock drafts. Who's the name?
Walter Nolan, defensive tackle.
Seen that name a bunch.
Ole Miss. It's interesting. So
Gold's first announced crush, Walter Nolan.
If there's a defensive coordinator
James Pierce
who can,
Jr.
Oh, no, James Pierce Jr. I'm sorry.
That was my draft.
Sorry.
If there's a defensive coordinator who can get the most out of Nolan, it's Spags. Nolan has very inconsistent tape, but jaw-dropping potential if surrounded by the right culture. That is per Pro Football Network.
I'm ready for new names at 31. I feel like it's down to the same five offensive linemen, pretty much, it seems like, or defensive linemen or offensive linemen. So it's like, just like Simmons or Nolan or... You know, I'm ready for some fresh blood. Who they got in the second round? Is it somebody new?
In the second round, that would be pick 63, Anthony Belton. I don't know if he's been in a mock, but his name has come up.
I've seen his name, but I haven't seen him in a mock. Yeah.
Offensive tackle from NC State. Second round, we've seen this a couple times now where mockers have gone Chiefs offensive tackle at pick 63. A few picks later, in the third round at 66, Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State. They have him taking him again at 66 and then at 95. Miles Frazier, offensive guard out of LSU. So they hit the trenches twice with the offensive line, but it's not in the first round. Do defensive line in the first and then running back in the third. I think you'd grade this as a B+ or an A- draft. If this were the first three rounds, positional wise, maybe not the actual players, but if you were to say tackle, guard, running back, defensive lineman, I don't know how you'd say that. It's not a good-looking draft, at least on paper, from a positional standpoint.
Judkins has really grown on me. I'm trying to decide if the Devin Neal hype is real and he's really a fit. I saw he went to the Texans in the third round in this draft. Or if it's just, like, local people love local kid. And, like, people mention Luther Burden, Felix Anudike-Uzama, Devin Neal. Is he, like, local kid who's going to perform? Or are we just kind of familiar with his game because he played at Kansas? I'm trying to really decide on Devin Neal. You big into Devin Neal? You want him in Kansas?
Yeah, I mean, look,
he's a good fit
obviously,
stylistically, I'll say.
Look, obviously, his name comes up here more because the fact that he played at Kansas, no doubt. But
yeah,
I think
sure.
The consensus outside of Kansas City is still that he's, you know, a third or fourth round pick and is somebody that could be a useful running back. I don't, you know, every down back, I'm not sold on that. But how many every down backs we have in the NFL these days anyway, right? Barkley,
very few.
Barkley Henry's about it. Nobody's really every down backs. We're talking about the true top tier guy. So saying somebody's not a three down back isn't like this devastating thing. I think Devin Neal can help somebody. I'm not as like, oh my gosh, he'd be an amazing fit, perfect fit in Kansas City as some other of my KU Jayhawk fans and alums are. Mm. But I think if you told me they got him or Giddens as well in the fourth round, yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Do they have any comps at the Pro Football Network? Here's what, when I officially decide the running back I want them to take the most, I want anybody who is comp the most to Bucky Irving Jr. That's who I want. I want that exact style of running back in Kansas City. The skill set he possesses, the explosiveness he possesses, like, that's the style of running back I want. So, like, if somebody can just tell me who most closely resembles that.
There's no links to the names, so you know, that's who I want. No. In terms of some other things, top three of the draft, they have the Titans taking Cam Ward, the Browns taking Shadur, and then the Giants taking Travis Hunter. They do have the Giants later taking Jalen Milroe as well.
First?
They have Tyler Warren going to the Jags at 5 in this mock. And then from a divisional standpoint, to just to give you guys where the rest of the AFC West goes, in the first round just in particular, they have the Broncos taking Amarion Hampton, the running back out of UNC, and then the Chargers taking Matthew Golden, wide receiver out of Texas. That'd be in the first round.
Does Jalen Milroe feel like we're just trying to take a quarterback, but we're unwilling to get Cam Ward, so we're just going to take a chance and it's going to fail miserably?
I mean, they already have two quarterbacks there.
Fails miserably if you spend a first on Jalen Milroe. What was it, a second on Jalen Milroe?
Third.
A third's not bad. I can live with it at a third. That's fine. There's plenty of good quarterbacks. It's worth it
to take a flyer when you have Russ and you have Jameis already there.
And you're going to bench him for the whole year, so that's okay. Yeah. I don't mind it in the third. Saw some people, I mean, he got invited to Green Bay, but he accepted the invite.
But Russ and Winston are on one-year deals, right? So next year, let's assume a brand new coaching staff and GM with the Giants, because I don't believe that they're going to have a good enough year to retain their job. So then next year you go in with the rookie you draft this year. Let's say it's Milroe or Jackson Dart. And then depending on where you're drafting, you could still go draft again, or at least maybe you have something to develop. There's no reason the Giants should not draft a quarterback. I would still draft Sanders at 3, and it sounds like that's not going to happen. Nobody believes that anymore. But that's the spot that their ownership put the current regime in, knowing that they're kind of a lame duck coaching staff and GM right now with the Giants organization.
And conceivably, you put Travis Hunter with Malik Nabers, and all of a sudden, I mean, I know it's not firepower offensively, but you're because the offensive line has questions. But you talk about playmaking wide receivers. I mean, you've got two right there.
If only they also had Saquon to go with it, then they'd have. Something. I can't believe they let Saquon go. Like, I get it, but also, like, if you look at his running back pay now, him and Derrick Henry are like, Saquon got a raise, but Derrick Henry's a steal, cheap, and Saquon was cheap for Philadelphia. Now he's getting paid, but still, it's outside of that. I got a couple people on the text line telling me who I want, saying I want Smith or I want Tootin, the kid out of Virginia Tech, right? He's been mentioned to Kansas City a couple of times. Mm-hmm. These are the guys they're saying I want if I want a Bucky Irving-style running back. I like it in the third round, too, which I think is kind of important, but it at least puts us somewhere. Let's head back out to Augusta. Let's get a leaderboard update brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views, Drew. Has much changed out at Augusta?
Not necessarily positional-wise, but score-wise, yes, there has been some changes. Justin Rose was at 9-under. Now he's only at 8 through 14 holes, 1-under for the day. Bryson DeChambeau having one of the better rounds. He's 4-under on the day through only 8 holes, 7-under for the tournament. He is solo second. Matt McCarty, Sungjae Im, also 4-under on the day, 5-under for the tournament. Rasmus Højgaard, 5-under on the day. He's 4-under for the tournament.
That's the guy with the scorecard yesterday that was bonkers. He double bogeyed twice, bogeyed like 8 times, and birdied like 9 times.
He is on fire, continuing that birdie trend. Corey Connors tied for 5th at 4-under. Scotty Scheffler yet to tee off. He tees off here in about a half hour. Also tied for 5th. Xander Schauffele, some other notable names, 3-under on the day, 2-under for the tournament. Rory McIlroy, 1-under through 9 for the day and for the tournament as well. Cut still projected at +1. In terms of Max Homa, your guy, correct, Cody, in this?
I had Homa to make the cut.
He is currently projected to make the cut. He is 1-under on the day, +1.
Okay, come on, Homa.
Through 14 holes, he's got 4 more left. We'll see if Max can get it done. Bernard Langer still at +1, as well as Brooks Koepka at +1. Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth yet to tee off. They're also at +1.
My other two guys, Minwoo Lee and Morikawa, they tee off together. So I guess I can follow them a little bit later. They tee off in about 10 minutes.
Currently just outside, by the way, Will Zalatoris is +2 for the tournament. Patrick Cantlay +2. Dustin Johnson and JJ Spahn as well at +2. Patrick Cantlay. Those guys are all in danger.
It's a huge chunk of former Masters champions prepared to be cut right now, right on the cut line. Johnson, Rahm,
yep.
Zach Johnson, Dustin, you know, like Mickelson. Like, it's just like the entire crew of, like, we've all won this together.
Colin Morikawa, popular pick, even par. He has yet to tee off his second round, so he'll have to at least stay where he's at, or if not, make some potential moves to make sure that he does not miss.
Your boy Angel Cabrera. We're second to last at plus 11. I don't think he's going to make the cut.
Do we want to talk about Angel? He is plus 11 for the tournament, plus 8. He's probably already left the facility.
You think he's already left?
I think he's left the grounds.
Oh, he did finish. Oh, he finished his round. Oh, yeah. He's definitely left then. He shot a 75 and an 80. How hard do you think it is for that guy Dunlap to go out on the course today, Gold? He's plus 18. He's got no chance of making the cut. How hard it is.
Well, there's no pressure anymore. I mean, just
how hard is it to go out there and just even play around?
No pressure.
Just try to go out there and shoot at par.
A little bit interesting as well. One of the things that people follow, it always gets brought up on Sunday, is the low amateur. There's only two amateurs in this. Jose Luis Ballester is the lowest amateur right now. He's at plus 4 for the tournament. He has yet to tee off his round. And then the other amateur, Justin Hastings, through 13 is plus 5 for the tournament. So Ballester right now, the high amateur.
Do you get to make the cut if you're the low amateur? No. You're just cut no matter what?
No, I don't know.
You get a little trophy, I know.
I was going to say, there's something that comes along with it. I don't think it's any prize money, certainly. By the way, that scoreboard update from Augusta is brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats Drinks Scenic Views.
Thank you for that. Always good.
Justin Rose is Augusta.
Well,
isn't he like 50? Maybe he's like 45.
He's getting up there in age. I talked to my brother about it last night. He said it is very impressive. He actually called him washed, which is kind of funny because he doesn't look washed right now. This is like prime Justin Rose right now.
Legit, I mean, the leaderboard you just mentioned, and then they're also showing it on TV. Like, I have no idea. Matt McCarty, I have no idea who the heck that is. Like, all the other names I've actually heard and seen before, Matt McCarty, I legit don't know. I don't know if I've ever said that name in my life. Like,
Where's he ranked until
now? He's third.
Yeah. No, I mean, where's he, like, ranking pro golf rankings?
I have no idea.
Take a guess.
150?
Let me see if he if they actually have him up. They don't have his world ranking. He turned pro in 2021. He won
56, a respectable 56th in the world.
He won the Corn Tour. He won the Corn Ferry Tour's season-long points race back
in. He's one spot ahead of this Højgaard guy.
Yeah,
One spot behind. I'm sorry. He's had a cameo. I mean, he's ahead of like golfers you have heard of. He's currently ahead of Jordan Spieth and Zalatoris in the world golf ranking. He must just play more tournaments. Some of that is just like that man is probably grinding every tournament and still playing all those. Where some of those, as you know, it's like they don't have to play every week.
You said Rasmus Højgaard had the crazy scorecard, Cody?
Yesterday was nuts.
Today, it's very clean. He has nothing but pars or birdies.
Yeah. Yesterday, he had, not kidding, 6 to 8. Or like total, he probably had 12 to 16 marks. He either birdied or bogeyed or double bogeyed every hole.
So it's just a wild round.
And an eagle. Yeah, that's all. So, like, if he's going to just stay clean today and still get the low scores, then he's going to be
fine. Those runs can be stressful, but also very fun, where it's like, I'm not just shooting even par with only pars. I'm doing a little bit of everything in this tournament.
He won 3 times on Korn Ferry last year.
Did he?
Yep.
Good for Matt.
All right. That's who you should model your game after.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Maybe you and Matt McCarty have similar swing paths, you know?
Just model your game.
We'll see. He said he's a lefty, so.
Well, that already
probably
is.
Not. No,
never mind. Never mind. Never mind. That was short-lived. That was very short-lived. All right. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. Got an update on what's going on the sports betting front in the state of Kansas. So somewhat good news on what we're hearing now. We'll also talk more about the big 10-game road trip that Royals are about to go on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.